Ephesians chapter 5. Wednesday nights over the last several weeks, we've been going through how to have a happy home. And inevitably, when I preach on something like that, there's spiritual warfare. And there's always there. The adversary is always working to try and disrupt and divide. But I'm so thankful for his grace. How to have a happy home. Okay, well, we started out looking at kind of some introductory points and seeing what the Bible has to say about the home. And then we saw last week how to really work it, the marriage aspect of it, because that's really the heart of it after we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now tonight, it's God's plan for the husband. Now let's just get through this real quick, shall we? Okay, no, we'll take our time. Brother Adam asked, weren't you going to skip this one? I said, yeah, I tried to, but the Lord wouldn't let me. Okay, God's plan for the husband. And I, again, hope to be a blessing and a help, especially to myself. I need this. Boy, I do. And we're going to look at that. Ephesians 5 now. Notice if you will. And you know these verses, I'm sure, familiar to you. We've read them several times already. But verse 23, jump down there. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, he gives that great example to us. He's a savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Okay, we'll stop there for a minute. Now notice your notes here, and we're going to see that, you know, again, there's many problems facing the home today, but none are so great, but what they can be resolved with the right kind of leadership. Now, a great pastor of the past, who he passed away many years ago, but he said this, everything rises and falls on leadership. Lee Robertson said that, and it's such a true statement. And the head of any organization or institution has the greatest power to affect changes within that organization. The person with the greatest force against the deterioration of the home is that of the husband. God has placed the husband as the head of his wife and home, and in so doing has placed the responsibility upon his shoulders to make sure his home is right. The husband is responsible to see that his home is successful and that it serves the Lord. He is responsible to see that his children are taught in the ways of the Lord. He's responsible to see that his children are one to Christ. We talked about that. He's responsible to see that his wife knows the scriptures. God help the man who is pushing his responsibility off on his wife and making her do what God has told him to do. Now, God has a definite plan for the husband just as he does for the wife. It is imperative that the man learn God's role for him and to live it. This plan is clearly given in Scripture. If he will learn it and determine to live it, God will make it happen. Okay, now, number one, notice again, he's to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. Okay, so let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and pick up in verse 7. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. He says there, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Prayers be not hindered. So he's to dwell with the wife according to knowledge. Now, what's that mean? As we see this, that word knowledge, intelligence, and understanding, giving honor, price, the sum, the preciousness, if you will, a valuing by which the price is fixed, deference, reference, unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. Now, the Greek, common Greek metaphor for body, since Greeks thought of souls living temporarily in bodies, okay, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. So now, just a couple things here. Three basic causes for marriage failure. Number one is impractical expectations. These nonsensical expectations are seen, and what one wife told me, she said that her husband expected they lived happily ever after type of marriage with nothing ever going wrong. Now again, that's the kind of storybook expectation. It's unrealistic, and we know that, right? Secondly, though, inadequate training. Talking about most of us enter marriage with little or no proper training, and most of us do not even know where to begin to win our wives' affection, respect, love, or cooperation. We break that relationship laws inherent in marriage, and then wonder why all goes sour. Often we do not even know what these laws are. And again, I've helped couples, and it's challenging to help couples, but older couples too, and don't know any of this stuff, don't know the biblical passages on marriage. But thinking about, thirdly, notice also no comprehension of the basic differences between men and women. Now, this is the source of most marital difficulties. They arise because men and women are totally different. Okay, no brainer, but sometimes we don't know. A lack of knowledge of these differences can cause a husband not to give honor unto his wife as unto the weaker vessel. These differences are so extreme that without a concentrated effort to understand them, it is almost impossible to have a happy marriage. Now, let's look at a couple of these things, and there's a list of these, and we'll read all of them, but we'll try and get through some of them. But, you know, the knowledge of the basic differences. Now, physical differences, obviously. But notice these. Virtually every cell in a woman's body has a chromosome makeup entirely different from those in a man's body. Women have a greater constitutional vitality, perhaps because of her unique chromosome makeup. Normally, women outlive men by 4 to 8 years in the U.S. Oh boy, okay. Women's metabolism is normally lower than man's. A woman's skeletal structure differs. Women's vital organs differ. She has a larger stomach, kidneys, liver, and appendix. She has smaller lungs. Notice the next one. Women have several unique and important functions. Menstruation, pregnancy, lactation. Her hormones are of a different type and more numerous than men's. Women's thyroid is larger, more active. It enlarges during pregnancy, makes women more prone to whatever that word is, provides resistance to cold. Women's blood contains more water, 20% fewer red cells. Go on and on. Notice the next one. Woman on average possesses 50% less brute strength than man. 23% of her body weight is muscle, while 40% of man's is muscle. Woman's heart beats more rapidly, average 80 beats per minute versus 72 for a man. Woman's blood pressure, 10 points lower, varies from minute to minute. Woman's vital capacity of breathing power is significantly lower. Woman withstands high temperatures better than man because her metabolism slows down less. Notice some mental and emotional differences. There's strong evidence that the seat of the emotions in a woman's brain is wired differently than a man's. Well, we know that. Women tend to be more personal than men. They have a deeper interest in people and feelings. They look more to build relationships. Men tend to be more preoccupied with practicalities than understand through logical deduction. Men tend to have a greater need to conquer, to compete for dominance, right? And often talking to my wife about some of that. Did you meet that person? Yeah, what did you think about him or her? And she'll tell me something totally different than what I saw. You know, I'm going, what? Oh, I didn't notice that. I'll be careful with some of these, but women become an intimate part of their surroundings. They enter into a kind of oneness with their environment. Men relate to people, situations, but usually do not allow their identities to become entwined with them. Women often need more time to adjust to change. Because of the emotional identity with people and places around her, she needs more time to adjust. Women tend to express hostility verbally, while men tend to be more physically violent. You know, let's just fight it out or whatever the case is. Again, sexual differences and being cautious about some of this. But again, tied somewhat to that, women, okay, we'll skip some of that. Number four, intuitive differences. The woman's intuition is not something mystical. Women have the ability to catch subliminal messages faster and more accurately than men. They may not be able to explain the way they feel. They simply perceive or feel something about a situation or person, while men tend to follow logical analysis of circumstances or people. Again, that's so true, isn't it? I mean, women can just read people. And I talked to a lady just recently. She said, I can read people. I said, oh, okay, really? I mean, I don't even think about it. Somebody I think is great. And my wife goes, I don't know, something about them I just don't trust or something. And that's so true. So notice letter B then, a knowledge of the consequences of a poor or failed marriage. Well, physical and emotional consequences, the adverse effect on the wife's health. A woman who is not properly loved by her husband can develop any number of serious physical ailments, needing thousands of dollars worth of treatment. Adverse effects on the children's development and training emotionally. A husband's lack of love for his wife can drastically affect children's emotional development. The son of an unloving husband will probably learn many of the wrong ways to treat his future wife by modeling after his father. A daughter's unloving father will carry into a relationship certain insecurities that her husband must overcome. Unloving parents simply cannot keep their problems to themselves. They definitely affect their children's future relationships, okay? Notice next, adverse effect on the wife's and children's respect. Now, this is interesting, but a disrespectful wife and rebellious children are more likely to be found in a home of a man who does not know how to lovingly support them. When a man settles for a poor marriage, he's forfeiting his reputation before all the world. He's saying that he does not care what he promised at the marriage altar, and is not going to try any longer. By refusing his love to love his wife and dwell with her according to knowledge, giving honor to her as a weaker vessel as he should, he's telling those around him that he is self-centered, unreliable. The spiritual consequences of this. When a man refuses to dwell with his wife according to knowledge, giving honor to her, his prayers, notice the Bible says, are hindered there in our text. That your prayers be not hindered. 1 Peter 3:7. Now notice the definition. It's to be cut down, hewn down, or cut off, hewn down, cut down, or cut out. As you can see, hindered is a very strong word. In other words, when a husband does not treat his wife right, his prayers do not get through. God is very serious about husbands loving their wives. Okay? Let her see, though, a knowledge of how to love his wife. Very clear in Scripture. How do we do and what do we do it? Few men know how to love their wives. This requires a definite commitment to learning how. It will then require persistence to keep learning. Keep learning. If a couple has been married, notice the quote here, a couple has been married for more than 5 years, any persistent disharmony in their marriage relationship is usually attributable to the husband's lack of understanding and applying genuine love. Quote from a man named Gary Smalley. Him and his wife wrote many books on marriage, and really helpful books if you get a hold of one of them. So notice number two, though, then he's not only to dwell with her with knowledge, he's to love his wife. We just read that in Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. And again, letter A under that is a sacrificing love. He said that very clear for us. As Christ gave himself for it. One that follows the divine pattern. The pattern of love in the home is the pattern of Christ in the church. Christ used his relationship to the bride as an example of the relationship in the home. And how holy, yes. What a responsibility, what a pattern to imitate, to emulate. It is not just affection, fondness, or physical passion. It is that what we call the agape love. It's a spiritual, selfless, sacrificing love, an enduring, indestructible in nature type of love. One that takes the initiative. Christ took the initiative. 1 John 4, John 10, 11, 14 through 18, talking about all of that. He took the initiative in all of it. I give myself for you. Didn't he say that? I've come to give myself for you, to give my life a ransom for many. There would be no church, no bride of Christ, no saints, if he had not first revealed his love by the death for us. There would be no salvation, no sweet fellowship with him if he had not taken the initiative, if he had not died in our place. The husband must take the initiative. Win her by giving her yourself for her. Love her by doing for her instead of demanding of her. Okay, letter B, it is a sanctifying love. Christ's love sanctifies us. It cleanses us, sets us apart to himself. It makes us without spot or wrinkle. Now, spot is a stain, wrinkle's a wrinkle, you know. And that's what talking about, really, you think of laundry time whenever I read that. And that's exactly what he's doing, sanctifying the church, sanctifying the people. And Christ's love does that, truly does. The husband's love sanctifies his wife. By that you secure her to yourself. By that you help her to be pure. By that you help her to be complete. Okay, now a lot of stuff we already know, but I hope to be a help. And it has helped you. And we'll come to this last part here. It is a protecting love. It truly does. The word husband, notice this, means house band. I never thought of it that way. Like a rubber band, but it's a house band. He bands the house together. And he's responsible to bind the home together, to support it, to cherish it, to build it. He's to bind the marriage together with his ministry. He is to materially, spiritually, emotionally, and physically meet the needs of his wife and his children. Now again, we're talking about a biblical husband, and boy, I'm falling real short on all of these requirements. None of us are perfect. None of us are going to meet all of it, but we should try, you know that, and working at it. Again, notice under that, Christ's love protects us. He never abuses us. Isn't that wonderful? He never abuses us. He never tells us to do something just to play games with us. He'll never abuse us. He never demands of us, secondly, what is his responsibility. He never gave his responsibility to somebody else. He never stopped in the garden and said, can one of you take my place? No. Nobody did because they all forsook him and fled. He took his responsibility. He never demands of us what he will do in his responsibility. He never allows the enemy to harm us. Again, we talked about that. There's temptations, there's testing, but he knows what you can handle and what you can't, and he never allows them to harm us. The husband's love protects the wife, and it protects the children. So Christ's love protects us. Not only is it protecting, it's providing. It's providing. Just as a husband nourishes and cherishes his own flesh, he is to nourish and cherish his wife, providing for her what is needed. This is what Christ does for the church. He provides everything. Again, just a reminder, Christ said, I'll build my church. He'll do the building. We're to be here to be faithful, to fulfill our roles and do what we're supposed to do. And again, he really can't use us if we're not faithful. We've got to be faithful. And I thank God for all of you being so faithful to God's house and to the ministry. But that's what it is. It's very providing. He wants to provide for the church, and he will provide for it. Letter E, though, notice, it's also an exclusive love. We talked a little bit about this on Sunday, about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. As Christ's love was particularly for his own, exclusively for his bride, so should the love of the husband be for the wife. Christ's love was a delighting in the special objects of his love. As we said this earlier, but there's no room for father and mother between you. There's no room for brothers and sisters between you or family. There's no room for the children between you. No room for the job between you. No room for friends between you or other women, especially between you. The wife responds to love. She's specifically designed that way by God to be a responder. Her greatest need is security in love. What wife would not respond to a godly husband's love? What wife dearly loved would not love? Find that submission to such love as sweet and precious. What husband will not find blessedness in this kind of relationship? And women, am I talking right? Is this some stuff? Okay, that's good. Okay, I'm right on track with that. All right. Number three now, and let's notice this, and we'll finish it out here and then continue next week with some of this. But then he's to meet the desires of his wife. Okay? Now, Genesis 3:16 in particular, notice here, unto the woman he said, thy desire... That word carries with it a longing or a craving of man for woman, of woman for man, of beast to devour. Carries with it all of that. Shall be to thy husband. The husband must learn what his wife's needs are. Her emotional, her physical needs, they're somewhat different to his. We know that. Her emotional and physical needs are more closely tied together than his. And unless he meets her emotional needs, he will have difficulty in meeting her physical needs. She needs security. She needs a secure marriage. The husband must prove his love to her, we know. The husband must make her to know that there can be no one else. Regard her as important. Communicate with her. Don't close her out. Seek to understand her feelings. Let her feel your approval. Ask her opinion frequently. Value what she says. Do not make major changes without discussion. Time to adjust. Allow her to teach you without putting off up your defenses. Be gentle and tender with her. Compliment. Show her affection. Be forgiving when she offends you. Show her you need her. Let her buy things she considers necessary. Get rid of habits that annoy her. Well, oh, what? Why? Okay. Tell her that you love her and express how much you appreciate her. All right. And then last, notice she needs a secure home environment. The husband should provide the best he can within his means. Nothing, it doesn't mean fancy or rich, but just within the means. Husband should allow her to keep her at home, more than cleaning, laundry, and cooking meals, right? And understanding that. Okay, so a lot of information here, but again, I hope it's a help to you to think about that our role as a husband is very important, obviously. And both Peter, Paul, Jesus, and even John touch on the subject of relationships and marriage. And very, very important. And thinking through this, again, as we look at it, all of us, myself at the top, can all do better and improve in these areas and thinking through it and how we can truly improve. Now, I want you to take the notes home, as I often say, but take them home, read them for yourself again, and look at these verses. Look them up, study some of this for yourself, and take time with your spouse. If you get some time, please try to do that. Get alone with your spouse and say, hey, let's look at these together. And pray. I try to encourage some folks recently that I'm trying to help them in counseling, but I encourage them to spend time together in prayer and in Bible reading. I know it's difficult to do. It really is. It's very hard to do. But if you can, just sit down together and do so, because it greatly helps you. And you get to hear the prayer, the heart of prayer from your spouse. You don't, they pray for certain things you didn't know they prayed for. I know they pray for the kids and other things, but there's some things they pray for you don't know maybe. And you get an opportunity to hear that. Spending time in Scripture, again, it helps us obviously very clear. But dwell with them according to knowledge and dwell with them with the right love, understanding how to love. Easy to say, hard to do, but we can do it. Now, as we look at this, we're going to cover next week and move a little bit more into the role of the wife and what her role is, and I hope it'll be a blessing there as well, okay? So anyways, hope that was a help to you and an encouragement. Maybe some of you, if you're following us online, again, if you would like some of our notes, what we can do right now, and I do apologize, is we could mail you these notes if you would maybe send us your mailing address or DM us or something. In the future, we're, Lord willing, going to get these notes up online, and that's going to be a blessing. But if you'd like those, please do. Anyways, hope this helped you this evening, okay? Well, we're looking forward to Sunday, and I hope that you are as well. We'll close out the year strong and then move into the first of the year, and I'm excited about that, sharing with you our New Year theme and what the Lord's put on my heart about what we, Lord willing, can move ahead and get done in the new year. I'm really proud of our church this last year. I kind of put a lot on your plate at the beginning of the year, but you have been very faithful, and we've seen growth. And sometimes if you're inside of the bubble, you don't see some of it until you kind of step back and you go, well, we have, Lord has blessed, Lord has allowed us to grow. And I'm so thankful for that. But many more things I hope to do in the new year, get accomplished, and I hope that you'll be faithful to that. Okay, I'll stop talking there. Lord, thank you for this evening again and to study your word. But again, to look at some of this, what a challenge to think about. And I like preaching on theology. I like preaching on doctrine. When it comes down to some of the meat and the things there that we should be doing, it's a little bit more difficult. And Lord, I know all of us have room to grow, and I thank you for your great grace with us, Lord, in helping us in this area. I pray that you'd help us as husbands to do our part to be what we should be. And I know that we can be with your grace and your help. You'll empower us to do just that. I pray you'd help those that may be struggling that may not be here tonight, others that are struggling in their relationships. Help us as a church family to meet their needs and be a blessing as well. Strengthen us to be an example to the people around us, especially outside of this church, in not only our faithfulness to you, but our faithfulness to our spouses, and strengthen us to do just that in a very wicked and perverted world, a very promiscuous world. Help us and strengthen us in our Lord, fidelity and faithfulness. We love you and thank you again for this evening. Bless us now as we go our way. Bring us back Sunday, if it be thy will. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.